This week, I decided to take on some of the world's news articles or happenings and look at them through the lens of the story of the prodigal son. We heard the story today from Luke 15, as told through the eyes of the younger son's fiancée, who had been left behind when he took off for his adventure. This story comes to us from Sheila McGill's book, My Great Grandmother's House, and it's called How Did He Do That? This monologue speaks of the continuing hurt caused by someone else's decision. It speaks of a family, household, community that is totally disrupted by a decision that was based on selfish needs. Not a need to protect oneself from danger, that's different, but to gather more for yourself just because you can without counting the cost for others. This story speaks of a parent who allows a child to leave, knowing it's not the best decision, but also knowing that forcing them to stay would not work either. It speaks of a parent welcoming that same child home when they return, having learned harsh lessons. It speaks of that child, although welcomed back, having to live with consequences of their decision. There would be no second inheritance to be shared. The story speaks of an older brother, jealous of the attention his younger brother receives, needing to turn attention back to himself. It speaks to each person having to decide how or if they can offer forgiveness. We can't make those decisions for other people. We can't decide how each person reacts to each circumstance. What we can do, though, is to base our decisions, our actions, our words on our faith. What is it that God would have us do? Where is God in the story? Is God with the younger man, walking beside him in this particular dark valley of life, ready to bring him home when he's done? Is God with the father, giving him strength to trust that his love for his child will bring him back home? Is God with the older brother, encouraging him to understand that while the lost and found will always be celebrated, the loyal and steady are loved with equal strength? Is God with the fiancée as she questions whether this experience will have changed the man who hurt her? Should she wait to see? Or was the intensity of the first hurt enough? Every day we have the same questions, decisions, and confusion as happened in this story. Sometimes that is how we work with our family, and sometimes it is how we work with God's family. As we know, last week there was a horrific massacre in Christchurch, New Zealand. 50 people were killed in their place of worship. It doesn't matter who they were. What matters, what needs to be mourned, is the incomprehensible loss of life. What needs to be mourned is that a place of worship is not safe. This was a time to mourn the loss of life, the loss of civility, the loss of trust. In the midst of this, some folks said, "Well, Christians have been killed too. Why aren't we hearing about them?" This is the voice of the older brother. I want attention too. It comes from a place of privilege where the speaker seems to think that they are better than others. How much better would we be if the Christian community could show empathy and shared sorrow for the horror instead of making terrorism a competition? There are times when life is not about us. It is time to stand beside the hurt, the lonely, the lost who so badly need to be found. An election has begun in our province. People who would say that they are good and faithful folk have already begun making statements and using words designed to wound and hurt, instead of invite civil conversation and hear others' points of view. Much of the rhetoric appears to be to get all that they can for themselves. And there is the younger brother. All about me. It doesn't matter who gets hurt or left behind, as long as I get what I want. These discussions should not be about personalities. They should be considered balances about who can offer the best help to the most disadvantaged people. Why can't we have reasonable discussions about choices and their consequences? Why do we have to want to hurt someone as much as we are hurting? Why can't we take responsibility for our words and look beyond this moment to see who we are leaving behind, who we are devastating as we move forward? Trust is broken in so many ways. Promises don't always get filled, and sometimes that's not because someone didn't try, but because someone else stood in their way or let them down. And there we find the fiancé. How do you sort through what has been to figure out if someone is truthfully sorry or changed or is prepared to live with consequences of past decisions? This is lived in the Humboldt story, where a driver has taken responsibility for devastating actions, where his life will always be impacted by those moments that can never be taken back, where parents and family will need to find their own way to forgiveness or not. No one will be able to do that for them, and we can't be angry for them. We just need to hold them with empathy and care. Then there is the father. This faithful man praises God and lives through a betrayal of a child, finds strength to go on into life with different goals, welcomes back one who has realized his mistakes. The father is strong and does not hold back on the consequences of the mistakes, but offers care and compassion and love and welcome. His faith guides his words, his actions, his life. He does not show a different face for different people, and he loves both of his children and gives them both his best. Who would God have us be? Let's engage in life with care of all people around us. Let's engage in discussions that offer different viewpoints, but also take time to consider the consequences of our actions and our choices. Let's make God our guide in every moment of our life, every word, every action. Let's recognize that when we are hurt and struggling, God is walking with us with welcome, with patience, with love. We are the family of God. God loves us all. Let's be God's family and spread the love.